The Littlewoods Boxing Day event is now on. Own it with up to 50% off selected home and electricals, with inclusive standard delivery and free returns. Don't miss out. Offer ends 9 a.m. on the 31st of December. Own it. Shop now at littlewoods.com.
Wednesday, December 28, 2016, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. We get together every single Wednesday, talk sports a little bit differently than anyone else does, give you a daily dose of common sense, hopefully give you a daily dose of sarcasm, maybe laugh at pretty much everybody in the sports world. If you would like to recommend the podcast, and we hope that you do, please let your friends, your family, your coworkers know. They can subscribe to the podcast in a number of different places. You can go over to iTunes, you can go to Stitcher, Podcast Republic, Google Play. We do have our own channel on Audio Boom, and you can go to blogtalkradio.com, or you can head over to our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com, where we put up a new article or two every single week. Broke some news this week. You might not realize this. Daily Dose actually broke a little news this week. Denver Broncos got beat on Christmas night. We are going to be talking about that a little bit later in the show. But you might not realize there's a little bit of a conspiracy theory as to why the Broncos may have lost that game. We were able to break that news and get the true story of what went on between the Broncos and the Kansas City Chiefs and how that affects maybe another team in the NFL. So make sure that you head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com and check that out. Plus, we do post a link to the podcast every single week right there. Also, be sure to stop by our podcast network page, rogueintel.com, where Duff over there does a great job finding a number of different podcasts. Might not be sports, might have a number of different interests over there. You can find a podcast that you will enjoy. Make sure you stop by rogueintel.com. If you've got a question, you've got a comment, maybe you need some advice on any subject, doesn't matter, feel free to hit us on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com. That is D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports. Or find us on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Today on the show, we will take a look back at the year 2016 in sports. The NFL is finishing up their regular season, and we have some major shakeups that took place in the NFL. Want to talk a little bit about those? The big college bowl games are coming up. Finally, we have some good college football to watch. We just might have a visitor stop by. And of course, as we do every single week, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. You've always got to make sure that you stick around for that. Hey, I hope you had a happy holiday. I hope you got to spend some time with loved ones. You got whatever presents it was that your little heart desired. I hope you enjoyed the time that you had. I had a tremendous holiday, had a great time. It was good to be with family, good to be with friends. Personally, I celebrate Christmas. I realize that not all of our listeners do. You might celebrate Hanukkah. You might celebrate Kwanzaa. You might celebrate, I don't know, winter solstice, Festivus, Boxing Day, whatever it is that you celebrate. I celebrate Christmas. So Christmas Eve, you know, I'm watching the NFL. Most of those games were being played on Saturday. So I'm watching the NFL. I'm wrapping some presents, finishing some things up. Got the Christmas music playing in the background. I told you, I can only take so much Christmas music, but I've got the Christmas music playing in the background. It kind of dawned on me why not all people like Christmas. Because, like, for me, if someone comes up to me and they say, hey, and maybe I say happy holidays or Merry Christmas or whatever it might be, and they say happy Kwanzaa or happy Hanukkah, I'm not going to be offended by that. Like, I could care less. Hey, yeah, great. Happy Hanukkah to you too. That's cool. I don't have any issue with that. Merry Boxing Day. Hey. You know, Merry Boxing, did they say Merry? Merry Boxing Day? I don't know what they say. Whatever it is that they say, put up your dukes, it's Boxing Day. I don't know what they say. Whatever it is that they say, I'll say it back. Like, I'm not going to be offended by it. A lot of times people get offended if you say Merry Christmas to them. They're like, well, I don't celebrate Christmas. I don't care. I do. I'm not going to be offended by whatever you wish me. I'm wishing you something positive, so go ahead and take that for what it is. But I will say this. I did catch just a little bit. As I was sitting there listening to Christmas music, like I said, on Christmas Eve, watching some NFL games, it did kind of dawn on me why people might not always like Christmas. There are certain people out there, I think, probably get a little bit annoyed with the whole Christmas thing, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Christmas music tends to talk down to people and insult their intelligence. Think about some of the songs that we play at Christmas time. They're flat out insulting. Think of some of the songs. Do you hear what I hear? Mary, did you know? Christmas comes but once a year. Or maybe you've heard the song, Christmas time is here. Or do they know it's Christmas? Yes, we know. Everyone knows it's Christmas. You've had the decorations up since Halloween. You don't need to serenade me and teach me when the holiday is. Stop talking down to us like we're all idiots. Don't patronize me. Do you hear what I hear? No. You're the only one who hears it. You're special, and we're not. I'm glad you pointed it out to us. Do you hear what I hear? I had no idea. I'm sure glad you pointed it out to me. Why don't you stop being so full of yourself? I can hear, I know when Christmas is. Mary, trust me, Mary knew what was going on. Stop being so full of yourself, Christmas songs. You're not Floyd Mayweather. Get back to joying the world and harking the heralds and all that stuff. Stop talking down to me like I'm a moron. Do you know that Christmas comes just once a year? I had no idea. I thought it came 4 or 5 times a year. I'm sure glad you pointed that out to me. Stop insulting my intelligence. Stupid. That's why people are getting annoyed with Christmas. I'm telling you right now. They can act like it's a religious thing. No, they're tired of being treated like they're morons. I totally get it. I'm sitting there on Saturday. Like, stop asking me stupid things. Do they know it's Christmas? How could I not know it's Christmas? You've been going on for months about it. Dumb. Christmas time is here. Oh, is it? I had no idea. I sure am glad you pointed that out to me. Thanks. Christmas is now over. Now we're starting to move forward to the new year. We're getting to the New Year celebration. 2016 is now ending. A lot of people are down on 2016. Goodbye, 2016. Good riddance. I can't stand you, 2016. like the year itself had something to do with the poor decisions you made in your life. But I get it. I get it. It was an odd year. Slow down on hating on the year. But I get it. It was a weird year in sports. I mean, yes, most every year in sports is a little bit weird. But it was kind of a weird year in the world of sports. And so what I did is I reached out to a few members of the Daily Dose. What was the word I was going to use? Brain trust? I've told you in the past that I've got a number of people out there that I kind of rely on, kind of depend on. Maybe here's an angle you didn't think of, whatever it might be. And so I've got that Daily Dose kind of board of advisors out there. I asked them to give their choices for some of the most memorable moments from 2016. And some of them were actually sober enough to answer the questions that I asked. And those of you who didn't answer, I know what you were doing. You're probably passed out face down in a puddle of your own sick. So I realize why you didn't. But right now, we can go ahead and do that. Right now, let's go ahead and play the best of 2016. And I'll throw in my vote at the end as well. Let's take a look back at the year 2016. A lot of great games, a lot of great finishes, a lot of great storylines. Talked about this in the past, how many great storylines are still out there in sports. We saw a number of them take place this year. We had an Olympic year. It's 2016, had a lot of different things going on it. Let's take a look back at 2016. What was the best game? When you think back in 2016, what was the best game of 2016? So I asked a number of the people that I rely on. Here are a few of their answers. John, out in the Inland Empire. John said World Series Game 7. You've got Chicago Cubs, Cleveland Indians, just the intensity for both sides. Who was going to be able to pull that off? The incredible finish that it was. The delay. Remember, we had the rain delay. It was an amazing, amazing game. World Series Game 7. Yeah, I get it. Rob is here in Denver, and Rob is a guy that is kind of, he's a little bit of more of the voice of reason. Rob brings me just a little bit of sense, and he's sneaky funny. Rob says Villanova over North Carolina in the national championship basketball game. I like that answer. Mike from SoCal says World Series Game 7 as well. Just an epic, epic game. Larry and Centennial. We've had Larry on the show before. Larry says World Series Game 7. It's a tough one for me. I'm going to throw in my answer. And I think back, obviously, you know, for me personally, I mean, the Broncos winning the Super Bowl, Cavaliers beating Golden State, and the way they did that, being down 3-1. Obviously, the World Series and how important that was. What went on in the Olympics? I think I'm going to go with Rob on this. I'm going to go Villanova over North Carolina, but only because it was done in less than 6 hours. Because, like, I only have so much of an attention span. in my life. Like, I can only stick with things so long. The World Series, as good as it was, like, that was going into the next day. That's a long, long game to watch. I felt like I was watching a whole season, and you guys know how much baseball I watch. I'm going to go Villanova over UNC in that national championship game because it was done, you know, that short amount of time. I like that. I like that a little bit more. All right, so let's move on. What was the best performance of the season? Best performance. John in the IE says Michael Phelps, and I hate swimming. Rob, for his best performance, votes for Ryan Lochte with his initial lies that came out. That's a pretty good performance Lochte put on with his initial lies. Mike from SoCal, another guy that we lean on quite a bit. Mike says the women's gymnastics team in Rio. Yeah, it's a pretty good performance. They were expected to dominate. They went out and they dominated. Larry in Centennial says best performance of the year was him hanging his Christmas lights. I'm not sure about that. I'm going to say that's a tough one. I think people are forgetting about this. I'm going to say Peyton Manning winning the Super Bowl, despite at that point in his career being nothing more than a giant talking head. Like, people forget he was like getting carried around in a bucket. Like, he didn't have any legs left. He didn't have his arm left. He didn't have anything left. So I'm going with that, but a lot of great performances we've had this year. Who was the best coach in 2016? Best coach. Got a couple of votes out here. John in the IE says Rick Pitino at Louisville gets his players both scholarships and hookers. I want him for my dad. Not bad. Rob says the best coach was whoever was behind that Russian doping scandal that took 5 years before they ever got caught. Somebody was doing something right there. I don't know if they were masking or what exactly they were doing over in Russia, but there was a coach over there getting things done. Mike from SoCal says Bill Belichick, but it leaves a bad taste in my mouth to even say that. Larry in Centennial says Gary Kubiak winning the Super Bowl despite old noodle arm. Yeah, I can see that. My vote, that's a tough one. Good coaches out there. A lot of good coaches. And I was a former coach. I know how hard of a position that is. I'm going to say Cleveland Cavaliers head coach LeBron James. I'm going to say he did the best job coaching this year. A lot of good nominations out there. Number of different things you can choose from. What was the best sports movie? Best sports movie this year. Did you see any good sports movies? John says he can't come up with one. Yeah, I feel that. Sports movies are tough. It's tough to put a sporting event into a film and have it look realistic. There's certain sports that translate a little bit better, some that translate a little bit worse. John couldn't come up with one. There weren't many great ones. Rob says that he heard Hands of Stone, the story about Roberto Duran, was very good, but he hasn't actually seen it. Yeah, I get that. Mike from SoCal says going with Happy Gilmore, even though it's old, wasn't actually released this year, but Happy Gilmore, always a classic. And Larry says he will always say Rocky no matter what year it is. He's just going to go back to the original Rocky. Best sports movie? I haven't seen it, but I've heard that Von Miller movie was pretty interesting. I've heard there was more of a film, really, but I heard that that film starring Von Miller that was out there, I've heard that one was pretty interesting. Not sure. Who was the most overrated in 2016? Most overrated sports figure in 2016. John says LeBron James pretending to cry after he won the championship. Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's necessary. He was crying, wasn't he? Was that not real? Was that not real crying? I don't know if it was real or not. Rob says the Zika virus performance at the Olympics. That's sneaky good. Because all we heard going into those Olympics down in Rio was that Zika virus was going to wreak havoc. It didn't really do anything. I'd say the Zika virus was a little bit overrated in 2016. Mike from SoCal says Floyd Mayweather. Mayweather didn't even fight. We're still talking about the guy. He hasn't done anything in over a year, and we're still talking about him. Larry in Centennial says working a real job is overrated. I don't know if that's what we're... That's not what we're looking for, Larry. We're looking for something in sports, not you actually having to get a job. It's a little bit different. Most overrated in 2016 for me has to be someone that heavily favored, expected to win big, and then doesn't do anything. Just complete collapse, crash and burn, right? Isn't that what we're looking at when we're talking about most overrated? I think we can all agree. It's got to be Hillary Clinton, right? Yeah, I think so. What was the worst moment in sports in 2016? Worst moment. John out in California says Peyton Manning winning the Super Bowl or Cam Newton in every game since. See, that's not necessary. First off, stop being mad because you're a Raider fan and Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl with the Broncos. That I realize the bitterness is there, but stop that. And, well, yeah, Cam Newton has been horrible pretty much ever since. Worst moment in 2016 for Rob was Muhammad Ali passing. Obviously, we dedicated an entire show to that. Brought the boxer Frankie Sanchez on, talked a little bit about what an icon Muhammad Ali was. Not only what he did in sports, but what he did outside the ring as well. So many lives that Muhammad Ali touched, so many people that he changed, so involved in social issues. Yeah, I could see Muhammad Ali passing, definitely one of the worst moments. Mike from SoCal says the Rams coming to Los Angeles. Yeah, I could see that. They haven't done much since they've got out there. Been pretty horrible. And then Larry says the University of Denver getting knocked out of the NCAA lacrosse tournament. I don't know if that's the worst moment in the whole year. It was maybe worst for you. Probably wasn't the worst. And for me, the worst moment for 2016, I've got to say just all of the sports figures we lost. And we lost a ton of them. In fact, let's go through some of the people we lost. Just through retirements alone. Just retirements. We lost Peyton Manning. We lost Kobe Bryant. Tim Duncan. Calvin Johnson retired. Jared Allen retired. Alex Rodriguez retired. Marshawn Lynch. Amari Stoudemire. Was Amari Stoudemire even playing? I don't know. Justin Tuck. Gymnast Michaela Maroney. Charles Woodson gave it up. That's a pretty hefty list of retirees that we had just in 2016. And that's not counting the people that we actually lost. The people that actually passed away in 2016. Take a look at this list. Here's a list for you. Golfing legend Arnold Palmer. Again, you got to be pretty good when you get a drink named after you. I don't know too many people that have a drink named after them. Arnold Palmer had it. Muhammad Ali, like Rob said. Tennessee Hall of Fame coach Pat Summitt. We lost her this year. Phenomenal coach. I met Pat Summitt. I've met a number of pretty decent coaches. I've met Mike Krzyzewski. I've met people like Billy Donovan. I've met George Karl. Met a number of different coaches. Pat Summitt intimidated me. Like, I was scared of Pat Summitt. If she'd have told me to drop and give her push-ups, I'd have done it. I'm not going to lie. That's a good, good basketball coach we lost this year. NBA sideline reporter Craig Sager. Talked about him last week, just being such a huge sports fan. But Craig Sager, one of the good guys. Miami Marlins pitching ace Jose Fernandez in that boating accident. Big loss. He had a bright, bright future. USC and New York Jets running back Joe McKnight. And kind of a tragic story there of what happened with Joe McKnight. Pretty good player. University of Colorado, 94 Heisman winner, Rashan Salaam, passed away, of course. Remember Miami Dolphins returner, Fulton Walker? He was the first player to ever score on a kickoff return in a Super Bowl. You might remember that. Dennis Byrd, New York Jets defensive lineman. Remember, he was paralyzed in a game in 1992. Dennis Byrd passed away this year. ESPN reporter John Saunders passed away this year. NFL coach Dennis Green. Remember Dennis Green? Had a number of good years with Minnesota, was down in Arizona. Dennis Green was a good one. Gave us that awesome quote.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
NBA Hall of Famer with Golden State Warriors, Nate Thurmond, passed away this year. We all remember Buddy Ryan, the defensive coordinator with the Chicago Bears, and then went over to be the head coach with the Philadelphia Eagles. Buddy Ryan still, to this day, the only time that two coaches were carried off of the Super Bowl field. Remember, the Bears defense picked Buddy Ryan up and carried him off, while the other players picked up Mike Ditka after the Bears won Super Bowl 20 over the New England Patriots. Only time it's ever happened. Might be the only time it's going to happen. If it didn't happen last year with Wade Phillips and the Denver Broncos, it may not happen again. Mr. Hockey, Gordie Howe. We lost Gordie Howe this year. New York City point guard and just absolute stud, Pearl Washington. Remember, he went to Syracuse. Pearl Washington, just a scorer. Just had that a little bit of playground to him. Just so much fun to watch. Pearl Washington was dominant. Olympic downhill skier Bill Johnson passed away this year. Notorious woman beater Lawrence Phillips passed away this year. Tennis writer and commentator Bud Collins. Very, very underrated Major League Baseball catcher Joe Garagiola passed away this year. He was really, really good People forget about that. You remember him in the broadcast booth, and he was excellent as a broadcaster. People forget how good of a player he truly was. Will Smith, New Orleans Saints defensive end. Just a lot of people we lost in 2016. From that standpoint, yeah, I suppose good riddance to 2016. But there are a few other things that we want to say goodbye to in 2016. Few things we can say goodbye to. Ryan Lochte's career. Goodbye. So long. Cam Newton's MVP status. Johnny Manziel's clean living. Andy Reid's diet. Rex Ryan's status as a defensive genius. Gary Kubiak's status as an offensive genius. Blake Bortles' bright future. The Raiders' playoff drought. The Raiders' playoff chances without Derek Carr. The Browns' perfect season. Brock Osweiler's career as a starter. Clean water in Olympic swimming events. Bob Stoops' reputation, thanks to Joe Mixon. Colorado's place in the Pac-12 basement. The college football playoff committee's integrity. The Cubs' complete ineptitude in the postseason. The Cleveland championship drought. Kobe Bryant's missed jumpers. Peyton Manning's wobbly passes. Bernard Hopkins' 70-year fighting career. Tim Duncan's bank shot jumpers. And Jeff Fisher's horrible offense. Goodbye. Hey, we've got a lot to still get to. NFL Week 16, college football bowl games. Might have a friend of the show stop by for just a minute. Plus, a 2016-themed top five list that you do not want to miss. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I say, boy. Every time I got to go get new boxing gloves for that daggone chicken hawk, I go to RoganTail.com/Amazon. And I get him the bestest boxing gloves that Amazon could buy. Look at that. He's hitting that dog. That is the dumbest dog I've ever seen.
Hi, guys. It's Kim from Round Trip, the travel podcast where we share our stories and travel experiences. You can listen to Round Trip at RogueIntel.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of me
and very much reflect the hidden recalcitrant inside each and every one of you.
There will be topics in bad taste and many you won't agree with. So
keep a leash on your inner SJW and jump on in with an open mind as we explore the controversial.
Find us on iTunes, Google Play or SpokenUnspoken.com.
The Boxing Day sale is now on at very.co.uk with 5 days of unmissable offers. Save up to 50% on selected vacuum cleaners and floor care, at least 20% on selected home accessories, including Yankee candles, and at least 30% on all beds and bedroom furniture, excluding nursery. There's also up to a third off selected fitness equipment. Hurry, these Boxing Day offers end 9 a.m. on the 31st of December. Get more out of every day with very.co.uk.
The Littlewoods Boxing Day event is now on. Own it with up to 50% off selected home and electricals, with inclusive standard delivery and free returns. Don't miss out. Offer ends 9 a.m. on the 31st of December. Own it. Shop now at littlewoods.com.
Joining us right now, I'm doing something a little brave. I won't lie. I'm a little bit nervous. Doing something a little bit brave. We have joining us right now, Trixie from Pensacola, joining us here on the Daily Dose Hotline. Trixie, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate you being here.
Hey, y'all. I'm so excited to be here. You know, it was already a great Christmas, and you just made it so much better.
How was your Christmas? What did you do this year for Christmas?
You know, we don't do a lot. You know, our family usually we actually do our Christmas on Christmas Eve because, you know, some of our family has other family that comes into town. So okay. Immediate family, we do everything Christmas Eve. And you know what? We went out to the beach, a couple of friends of mine.
Wow.
And we went out to the beach. It was 75 degrees here in Pensacola.
Oh, my. Must be nice.
It was so nice. You know, went out there, we had our cocktails and just watching people. There were some bars open down there, and we're just people watching. It was just such a good time. And, you know, we went to Disney the week before, so that was really our Christmas to each other. But it was so much fun. It was just wonderful. How was your Christmas?
It was good. You know, we didn't quite have the warm weather you had. We had a little bit of snow flurries that Christmas morning, but it was good. We had a very good Christmas. Let me ask you this, Trixie. You wake up Christmas morning, you go downstairs. What is your dream Christmas present under that tree? Maybe I should say, who is your dream Christmas present under the tree?
Oh, no. There would never be a dream person under the tree.
Nobody? There's not like a celebrity or anything even?
No, not really. I mean, of course, everyone has that one person. They'd be like, oh, you know, I want to, if I ever met so-and-so, blah, 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 if you're in a relationship. But nah, you know what? That's for the birds. No, for me, honestly, and someday it will happen, one day I'd like to be able to walk up to that Christmas tree and see a set of keys on it and is a 2017, since the year's coming up.
Sure.
Mustang.
That's the deal, huh? The Ford Mustang.
That's my dream car, always has been. Not necessarily the 2017. I just really like the body style that they created.
Okay.
I really like the older cars. I really love myself a muscle car. But, you know, you got to restore that, and I'm... You know, I don't really know how to do any of that, so we'll go with the newer stuff so I don't have to fix anything.
Trixie, you're very resourceful, and we know a little bit of what you do for a living. I would imagine that you can probably put together that money and get that Mustang yourself.
Yeah, you know, it is something that I definitely want to do, but, you know, there's always something else I want to do, too. So it's, you know, it's like, do I want to go and have nice vacations, or do I want to have a car?
Sure.
You know, I already have a car that gets me around, so it's not like I need the car. But, yeah, it'd be fun to have, but... I do enjoy, you know, spending my money in other ways.
How are you planning? And I don't know, maybe you have to work. How are you planning on spending your New Year's Eve this year?
Oh, you know what? I have never gone downtown Pensacola before. They actually have what we call the Pelican Drop. So, you know, New Year's
they drop
Eve
pelicans?
Up in New York City, they have the ball drop.
Yeah.
Well, here, it's a pelican.
And they
I've
drop
never
a pelican.
Gone. So I'm super excited. I'm actually going to go this year and, you know, got a couple of new girlfriends that I've met. And so we're all just going to go down there and just have a good time. You know, probably take an Uber home because I don't think I want to drive.
Right.
But, and they actually do have Uber here. I know it's a very small town, but yes, we do have Uber here. So, yeah, that's my plans. I'm so excited about that.
Is it a real pelican? We have a big stuffed pelican. What's going on there?
I'm assuming it's not real. I don't know.
I would think it would fly away.
I'm assuming it's probably, you know, we actually had, I believe in Colorado, because I visited there a couple of times, a couple of years ago, and I think you guys have like those cows that they do where they have different, like, artists paint them.
We do?
And I don't know if they're like metal, whatever you want to call them. Anyways, we have pelicans down here, and,
okay.
You know, artists paint them of different, you know, different things. Like, we have one that's Navy. You know, it's a very military town down here.
Oh, okay.
So we got Navy, you got the Marines, you know, you've got all the different types of, you know, military branch and whatnot. But then there's some other kinds as well, and I'm assuming it's going to be something not real, but I don't know what material it'll be, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure. You've got a military base down in Pensacola?
Yes.
So I'm assuming that you've got a number of dating prospects down in Pensacola as well.
Well, yes and no. You know, I'm not necessarily looking for, you know, anyone that's going to move out of Pensacola. I love my hometown, you know. My
okay.
family's here, and I just don't want to move. So that's a little difficult. But don't get me wrong. When I was a few years ago, I definitely did date me some flyboys, that's for sure.
What's the best dating story you've got for me recently here?
Oh, best dating story. Oh, my goodness. I got a couple of them.
Okay, let's have them.
I might have to maybe save one for another time. The one would be, you know, I'd gone on a date with this gentleman, you know, probably about four times.
Okay.
And the last time we went out to dinner, and then we went to a movie, and, you know, he fell asleep. And, you know, it was... I don't even remember what movie it was, you know. I'm not even really quite sure, but I was like, you know, movies are loud, and how
right.
do you fall asleep? And then he wasn't that old, so I couldn't figure this, you know. It's not like he was a geezer or anything like that.
Right, right.
So anyway, so that evening, you know, when he dropped me back off in my car, you know, I left, and I was like, you know, I don't think I'm going to, I think I'm done with him. So
can't have
him
fall
anyway,
asleep.
The next day, you know, he called, I didn't respond. He called again, I didn't respond, you know, he texted all this kind of stuff, and I just not responded, but he knew where I lived because he had picked me up one time.
Uh-oh.
Do you know that man showed up at my door, and I didn't open it because I happened to have my windows open. I saw him pull up, and so I just pretend like I wasn't home.
Sure.
And so I, you know, left alone, didn't answer the door or anything, didn't make a sound. Well, he left, and then he came back, and by this point, I had taken my trash and put it outside my door. Do you know that man looked at my trash?
Oh, no.
He looked through my trash, and I saw him through the peephole. That was the weirdest part about it. I just happened to look through the peephole. You know, he probably could see that there was a shadow, but we're going to say he wasn't that smart. But anyways, So I look out and I could just barely see him outside.
He's going through your trash.
Sitting down, looking at my trash can.
Wow. You've got a full-blown stalker on your hand.
I'm so glad my door was locked, and they did have a German Shepherd at the time. So, you know, luckily she was there to protect me, but who does that?
Yeah, that's a little bit odd. And falling asleep on the date, which is not going to be forgivable either.
No, yeah, so needless to say, I did not speak to him ever again, and, you know, I moved since then, so thank goodness, but, whoo, boy.
Well, here's the thing, though. You're in Pensacola. I mean, you're in Florida. It's a little bit different of a, you know, place to live, isn't it?
No, I mean, you know, it's like any other town. It's a smaller town.
It is not like any other town.
We do have a lot of, you know, in and out because of the military here and everything. You know, I have our officer candidate schools here. But, yeah, you know, for the most part, people are pretty normal, I think.
It's Florida. There's nobody normal down there.
Well, that's true. But, you know, it's I think I'm normal, right?
Yes, let's go with that. Let's go with that, Trixie. You're definitely the most normal.
All right. Yes. Well, I think I'm as normal as most people can. You know, in my circle, I'm normal. You know, my friends are normal, and the ones that aren't, well, we just don't keep them around.
Sure. How's work going?
Oh, work is great. You know, as a matter of fact, it was such a busy day at my first job that, you know, I had to come home. I got to get freshen up and, you know, get myself together for my evening job. And, you know, so
you have two jobs.
Speak, but yeah, so. You know, after the holidays, being on vacation, everything, you got to catch up, and then you're helping other people and whatnot. But, yeah, so I got to do myself, freshen up, and get to my second job, and we'll call it good.
Trixie, you're not doing anything illegal on your second job, are you?
Of course not. What are you talking about?
Okay, I'm just checking. I'm just making sure you're doing okay.
No, nothing illegal at all.
It's legal. It's legal in Florida.
Everything's legal in Florida. Yes.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Most everything is legal in Florida.
Do not judge me.
I am not. I'm not. In fact, I've got more respect for you now than ever.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Trixie, I want to say thank you for stopping by the Daily Dose. We always enjoy getting your emails, getting the tweets that you send us, getting in the messages you send us, and we do enjoy when you stop by the Daily Dose and actually make an appearance. I would like to wish you a very happy new year. Stay safe. Don't let the pelican fall on you or whatever it is, and don't do anything illegal in Florida.
Well, thank you very much, and happy new year to you and your family. Thank you so much for having me on again. It's always a delight.
Always good to hear from Miss Trixie. Never know exactly what she's going to say. All right, we've got to jump over and talk a little bit of college football. We finally have some games to watch this week. Bowl games, I'm going to be honest, have been pretty boring and completely irrelevant. Now, we know they're irrelevant. And I know the argument for all those bowl games, look at those kids competing. They get one more chance. And yeah, I guess. And I suppose a good game could break out at any moment. It won't mean anything. But finally, this week, we can start getting some interesting games. I'm going to give you a few interesting games. Some that you might want to mark your calendar for. Make sure that you tune in. Now, we've got the big ones. I'll get to those in just a second. Let's get to the other ones first. First off, this coming Thursday night, December 29th, at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, we have the Alamo Bowl. Number 12, Oklahoma State versus number 10, Colorado. I'm expecting a shootout there. That is an old Big 8, Big 12 matchup. Both offenses, pretty loaded. I'm not sure if either offense is going to be able to be stopped. You could tune in and see a really, really good game. Make sure you check out the Alamo Bowl on Thursday night. On Friday, December 30th at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, we've got the Orange Bowl. Now, this is a game that if we had an 8-team playoff, you might be seeing something like this. Number 6, Michigan versus number 11, Florida State. Now, I'm not sure that Florida State defense is good enough. That's a pretty good matchup. Considering it's a game that doesn't really have any, you know, championship implications at all, that's a pretty interesting game. Michigan against Florida State. Be sure to check that one out. These next two games are actually after the championship games, but they still might be worth your time. We'll come back to those championship games in just one second. On Monday, January 2nd, as you recover from your wild New Year's party, that morning, 11 a.m., we have the Cotton Bowl. In the Cotton Bowl this year, number 15, Western Michigan versus number 8, Wisconsin. Now, when you see that, just think back. You said they're Western Michigan. What do they have? They're undefeated, but have they really beat anyone this year? They haven't beat anyone. Certainly, nobody like Wisconsin. But don't forget, it was just a few years ago that we saw a little upstart team named Boise State playing Oklahoma. Well, what's Boise State going to do? Maybe they hang with Oklahoma. Maybe they give them a game. Yeah, or maybe we see one of the most incredible finishes ever. One of the most incredible bowl games ever. Western Michigan versus Wisconsin, Monday morning, might be worth your time. That is no doubt the biggest game in Western Michigan history. You think they're going to have something on that? And Wisconsin is not the type of team that's going to roll over for them. Well, go ahead and take it. We know you wanted it, and you guys have really played well. No. Wisconsin will come out and battle. Make no mistake about that. Cotton Bowl should be a good one. Last game before we get to the big ones. Monday night, 6:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, we've got the Sugar Bowl. Number 14, Auburn, versus number 7, Oklahoma. And you might say, Auburn? Who cares about Auburn? One thing to think about with Auburn, they were injured all season. They had a number of injuries all year. They're finally healthy now. And we know that the Oklahoma Sooners are playing as well as anyone in the country coming down the stretch. Auburn versus Oklahoma might actually be a pretty entertaining game. Might want to check that out. Yes, these games are completely meaningless. They're exhibitions, let's be real clear. But in about a month, when football is completely over, you're going to be wishing you had a meaningless exhibition to watch, aren't you? You'd be like, man, only thing that is on tonight is a really, really bad NBA game and an NHL game that I don't really care about. Man, I wish I had some meaningless football to watch. Well, here's your chance. There's your meaningless football. Go ahead and watch it this next week. Now, let's get to the two college football playoff games. On Saturday, New Year's Eve, 1 p.m. I still don't like these games being on New Year's Eve. I know. The NCAA is super smart. Smarter than any of us, right? Why do you put these games on New Year's Eve? People aren't going to change their plans. People are going to go out. People are going to go to the party. They're going to host the party, whatever it might be. They're not going to be nearly as tuned into these games. It's stupid. Should have done it Friday night. Should have done it some other time. I don't like the New Year's Eve thing. But, okay. Peach Bowl, 1 p.m. Saturday afternoon. Peach Bowl features number 4 Washington versus number 1 Alabama. And I'm telling you right now, the Washington Huskies are getting no respect whatsoever. All they're hearing is how they can't hang with Alabama. Alabama's too dominant. Alabama can do it on both sides. Don't forget that the Washington Huskies played in a very tough Pac-12. I know the Pac-12 was down from what we thought, but was it? Was it really down? Or was it just different teams were down? We expected a lot from Stanford. Stanford wasn't great. Colorado was very good. We didn't expect anything from them. We expected maybe teams like Cal or UCLA, some of those teams to step up. Well, they didn't. But Washington State did. Washington was excellent. So it might just be different than what we expected. It doesn't mean that it was definitely down. Pac-12 was pretty tough this year. I watched a number of Pac-12 games. That's a pretty good conference. Don't forget that Washington has some weapons too. And they can beat you a number of different ways. You know, I'm always a little bit nervous when a team has been hearing for 2 or 3 weeks how they're just going to get pummeled in the big game. That always gives me just a little bit of hesitation because you know that's been drummed into their brain all week. They don't think you have a chance. They don't think you can even compete in this game. Alabama is going to come out and crush you in this game. That's what everyone thinks. We're going to go prove them wrong. So who's my pick? Well, it's still Alabama. It's pretty easy. I think Bama still rolls. Sorry. Remember that the most physical front Washington saw all year was Southern California, and the Trojans beat them up. USC has nothing on what the Crimson Tide has. The key with Alabama, they get pressure up front, and they don't have to blitz to do it. So they can drop 7, 8 defenders into coverage and take away your passing game, and their front 4 are good enough to control your rushing game and even get pressure on your quarterback. And if that happens in this game on Saturday, it's going to be a long day for Washington. It's going to be a very long day for Washington. And I think that's probably what's going to happen. Alabama will dominate up front. Here is a concern for the Crimson Tide. And it is a very, very real concern. Offensive coordinator Lane Kiffin, don't forget, he took the Florida Atlantic job. How distracted will he be? I'm telling you right now, he's going to be highly distracted. I'll guarantee that. There's no way you can be focused fully on the game right here. And I'll tell you why. He's too busy evaluating the talent left at Florida Atlantic, who do I have? Who's my quarterbacks? Who's my running backs? What does my defense look like? What does my offensive line look like? How do my defensive backs look? He's evaluating on that talent. He's looking at film. He's meeting guys. He's talking to coaches around the program. He's talking to people around the program. Who can I count on? Who are my leaders? He's looking and evaluating the talent that he has there. He's hiring his coaching staff, which is key for any coach. I don't care where you coach. I don't care if you're coaching at high school. You better hire a good coaching staff. Without your coaching staff, you will struggle. And that is difficult to do, to find a good quality staff, not just of people who truly want to be there, but people that are going to have your back if things go wrong. That's a big, big job to take on. And he's got to talk to recruits and still try to get some recruiting in before the game. Before he gets released from Alabama, he's got to try to find a few recruits. So he's beating down some doors too. He's making the phone calls. Hey, I'm at Florida Atlantic now. I was just at Alabama. I'm not sure if you know this, but we're getting ready to play for a national championship. If you come to Florida Atlantic, we'll do the same thing there. They won't. That's what he's telling them. And he's got to do that right now. So Lane Kiffin is a busy, busy guy. There's no way he can focus fully on the Peach Bowl. You know, I remember when Dan Mullen took the Mississippi State job when he was at Florida. And remember how Tim Tebow struggled in that championship game against Oklahoma? I mean, Florida still won. But Tim Tebow was not particularly sharp in that game. Wouldn't be surprised one bit to see the same kind of struggles from the Alabama offense. I just think the Alabama defense is too good. And I think there'll be enough to carry that game. I will take Alabama. Saturday, 5 p.m. following that game, we have the Fiesta Bowl. And this game is very, very interesting. Number 3, Ohio State. Not even sure they deserve to be there. Yes. Are they one of the best 4 teams? Yes. Do they deserve to be there? That I'm not so sure of. Versus number 2, Clemson. And this game might be very, very good. Clemson can score some points. And I know that we kind of look at quarterback Deshaun Watson, and he hasn't wowed us this year. The Heisman Trophy Committee likes to be surprised. They like to be wowed. We want to see something we haven't seen before. Don't forget Deshaun Watson has thrown for 37 touchdowns. That's pretty impressive. And the thing about Watson that makes him so dangerous is he can break down your defense with his arm or with his legs. No, he's not the Michael Vick kind of scrambler, but he can eat up some valuable yardage. And he can pull out a first down when he needs to. Meanwhile, the Ohio State defense is very good. Ohio State lost 6 defensive players to the NFL draft. They're only allowing 14 points per game. I mean, everybody talks about reloading. They have truly reloaded, not rebuilt. And the Ohio State defense is excellent. Now, I think Clemson's defense should be able to limit Ohio State offense. That Ohio State offense isn't exactly high-powered. JT Barrett has thrown for 24 touchdowns. The problem that I have with the Buckeyes offense, they don't have any explosive receivers. Got some possession guys, decent blockers, not real explosive downfield threats, though. And that could be a problem for Ohio State. I think Clemson actually has the advantage in this game. So I am going to be picking for this game, the Fiesta Bowl. I'll still pick the Ohio State Buckeyes. And I'll tell you why. Ohio State has played the toughest schedule in the country. They are the highest rated in the country in strength of schedule. And I just think Urban Meyer knows how to get his team ready for big games. When you think of what Urban Meyer has done in his career, he did it at Bowling Green. He did it at Utah. He did it at Florida. And he's been doing it at Ohio State. There are certain guys that just understand how their team should prepare and how to get ready for a big game. And Urban Meyer just gets it. He just understands it. And he's so good at it. I think it will be Alabama versus Ohio State on Monday, January 9th, for the national championship. Should be a lot of fun this weekend. I'm actually looking forward to those games. Get to watch a little bit of college football that is worthwhile to see as we get down the stretch. There's so many bowl games, it's hard to watch them. But I do love when we get into the meaningful bowl games. It is a lot of fun. NFL Week 16. NFL Week 16 was rolling along, and suddenly the NFL went sideways on us again. You know, the Oakland Raiders, I told you I was watching football, wrapping some presents, listening to some Christmas music. The Oakland Raiders were looking impressive. They were up 33-14 on the Indianapolis Colts, and I'm sitting there going, this team looks a little bit better than the Patriots to me. I know the Patriots are the team to beat in the AFC, and they have so much experience, I'm going to be hard-pressed to pick against the New England Patriots. But I'm watching Oakland going, man, they can do a lot of things. Derek Carr is really, really good. Throwing the ball just so accurate, he doesn't make big turnovers. They have enough of a running game. Yes, the defense is not very good. I'll give you that. Khalil Mack, good. That defensive backfield, really not good. And then the football gods decided that Jack Del Rio had pressed his luck a little too much this season. Remember all the, we're going to go for twos, and we're going to go for it on fourth downs, and down goes Derek Carr. Broken fibula, done. Now, Matt McGloin gets to take the reins in Oakland, and my concern for that is, remember, that defensive backfield for the Raiders isn't very good. If you're seeing a Ben Roethlisberger, if you're seeing a Tom Brady in the playoffs, in the postseason, I'm going to be a little bit nervous about that. That'd be a little bit scary. Derek Carr wasn't the only guy. The Tennessee Titans had been playing good football down the stretch. I like what Tennessee does. Running the ball. Playing defense. Marcus Mariota, one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL. And then, no. Also, broken fibula. And you know, both of these plays, it isn't anything you can legislate. You just had tackles that, wrong place, wrong time. The football gods frown on you that day. I don't know what it is. They weren't dirty plays. They weren't really avoidable plays. Two young, very talented quarterbacks, two broken fibulas. If the NFL playoffs started right now, here are your AFC quarterbacks. And this is locked. This isn't going to change. Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger. Pretty good group. Pretty good group. Those are two Hall of Famers. Alex Smith. Yeah, a little bit of a drop. Dropping down just a little bit. Matt McGloin. Matt Moore. Tom Savage. Not looking good on the AFC side, is it? Those AFC quarterbacks. Yeah. Really, really top heavy. Extremely top heavy with the AFC. And you know, it wasn't just the quarterbacks that we saw get injured. The Seattle Seahawks lost wide receiver and special teams ace Tyler Lockett to a gruesome broken leg. If you didn't see that, catches a touchdown pass, leg gets snapped, leg flops around like jelly. As if Seattle wasn't struggling enough to score points. Now they lose a special teams guy and a wide receiver that is very explosive. That's a very, very tough injury for the Seattle Seahawks to overcome. They don't have a ton of scoring as it is. Losing Tyler Lockett hurts them that much more. And they're starting to scare me. They're starting to scare me because, again, we're starting to see some flaws in that defense. Not just the offense. As bad as the offense is, we're starting to see a couple of flaws in the defense. Speaking of a flawed defense, on Christmas night, you may have watched the Kansas City Chiefs finish off the Denver Broncos season for all intents and purposes as the Chiefs drilled the Broncos 33-10 in a game that, bizarrely, it wasn't that close. Like 33-10 looks like more of a nail biter than it really was, because that felt like it was about 80-0. Denver Broncos have some big problems. Got some big problems. Going to talk about those in just 1 second. Now, here is what I want you to keep in mind coming up on Monday. Monday, January 2nd, is coming very, very quickly, and it is going to be a rough Monday in the NFL. It always is. It always is. There's no question we will see a lot of coaches lose their jobs. Coaches are going to get fired. And keep one thing in mind. There's always a surprise coach. Let's take a look at some of the coaches in the NFL. Either on the hot seat, were on the hot seat, or maybe you didn't even expect to be on the hot seat. Remember, the Jacksonville Jaguars already fired Gus Bradley. I know Jacksonville tells us again and again how much talent they have. I'm not sure that I really buy that they have that much talent. But Gus Bradley wasn't getting anything out of any of those players. Gus Bradley's gone, and then he got to fly back home on the team plane. Good stuff. The Los Angeles Rams, of course, fired Jeff Fisher. Again, didn't show any improvement. 7-9, 8-8. That would have been nice. They wish they could have got 7-9 and 8-8. That's not even going to be close. The Buffalo Bills have already fired Rex Ryan. You know, the problem that so many of these franchises look at is, are we seeing improvement? Are we seeing preparation? Are we seeing guys prepared for situations? I'm watching some of that Buffalo-Miami game this last Saturday. The Bills look completely unprepared for what they're doing. There's a penalty. They can't get the play in. They have to take a timeout. They have to burn a timeout that they don't have. They look completely unprepared. Rex Ryan doesn't know what he's doing, punting the ball when you've got to go get a score. The problem, again, with Rex Ryan is that he rubs so many people the wrong way that they're not going to have your back when the chips are down. if you were a nice guy, they say, well, yeah, I mean, yes, they're struggling a little bit, but it's Rex and he's a good guy and we all like him. And that's not really the case. He's rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And like I said before, the Buffalo Bills management wants to see some different quarterbacks. Rex Ryan is insistent on playing Tyrod Taylor, which I understand, but management getting maybe a little too involved, whatever. Rex Ryan is gone, didn't do much in Buffalo. The New York Jets, Todd Bowles. Hey, this team is quit. This team is absolutely quit. And you can sit there and say Todd Bowles is a good young coach. I think Todd Bowles probably is a good coach, but not with this team. This team has absolutely quit on him, and they're probably going to have to get rid of Bowles. Would the Cincinnati Bengals get rid of Marvin Lewis? I know we say it every single year. And every year, Cincinnati management comes back and says, hey, he's been consistent. He's been in the playoffs. Yes, we can't win a playoff game, but he's been there. Well, this year, they didn't even get that far. They weren't even close. So while he's been consistent, has worked for a while, consistently awful this year, doesn't exactly carry much weight. Could Marvin Lewis be gone? I don't know. San Diego Chargers, Mike McCoy. I mean, you just can't lose that many games in the fourth quarter. The Chargers losing to the Cleveland Browns might push it over the edge. He's got to go. He's got to go. And I told you last week, the Chargers don't have much reason for hope. Man, Mike McCoy struggling. And again, I think he's probably a good coach. I think he's a smart guy. Not a good fit in San Diego, though. Could the Indianapolis Colts get rid of Chuck Pagano? We know that Pagano has butted heads with ownership. We know that Pagano doesn't always get along with the people in the front office. I don't think this is entirely his fault. Chuck Pagano hasn't been given great players. For what he has, he's done okay. He's got Andrew Luck and nothing else. For what he has in Indianapolis, he's done okay. But could Chuck Pagano be gone? Remember, they wanted to get rid of him last year. They got kind of talked out of it. San Francisco 49ers Chip Kelly is 2-13, and the Niners have been outscored by an average of 30-19. Not going well for Chip Kelly. Can we safely say that the Chip Kelly experiment is over now in the NFL? Should he just go back to college ball? Chip Kelly's not getting it done. I'm going to throw out one more name. I don't think it's going to happen. It's not that I think he's going to get fired. I don't think he's going to get fired. But let me just throw one thing out at you. Could Gary Kubiak with the Denver Broncos be done? I'm not saying he deserves to be fired. That's not what I'm saying at all. I do think his offensive coordinator, Rick Dennison, and the offensive line coach, Clancy Barone, are in big trouble. Make no mistake about that. But remember back in week 5, when Kubiak was taken by ambulance to the hospital after suffering what was termed a complex migraine. Remember that? And it wasn't the first time we saw Gary Kubiak have a health problem. He collapsed during a game back in 2013 when he was the head coach of the Houston Texans with what they called a minor stroke. What's a minor stroke? I don't know what that is. I think that's a stroke that doesn't happen to you. Because if I'm having a stroke, I got news for you. It's major. It's big. Now, the Broncos were 4-0 when Kubiak ended up in the hospital. Since then, they went 4-7. And I guess my only question is Gary Kubiak healthy enough to continue coaching? I don't know. I don't know. And I don't know if John Elway knows. That's kind of a big gamble to take. That, well, no, we think he's fine. We think he's okay. See, it seems like he's all right. Yeah, until it happens again. Could Gary Kubiak, maybe resign? Give it up? Keep an eye on the Denver Broncos. They've got some big, big issues to take care of. Talked a little bit before in that Kansas City game this week. The offense, of course, was horrible, but the defense was bad too. Not only was the defense bad, that game had a little bit of a feel like the Broncos quit. Now, some of that is they've been beaten down. They've been injured. They've had some problems there. And some of that is you wonder if they've tuned out that head coach. The Broncos have some big, big changes to make in the offseason. Got some decisions to make at quarterback. Got some decisions to make concerning contracts. Got some decisions to make on the defensive side of the ball. And now they may have a decision to make with their coaching staff. Kind of seemed like that team tuned them out. You know what? I bet you forgot someone for Christmas, didn't you? Maybe it was a coworker or your boss or your nephew or your neighbor. You probably forgot a gift for someone and they brought you something and now you're looking, I was supposed to get them something and I forgot to. Here's what you can do. Head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose. Loot Crate delivers the best in collectibles, apparel, gadgets, and art. You can order a crate, you can order a subscription of crates, or even individual items. Maybe you just need one individual item. Hey, I want to send some Marvel gear to this person I forgot. Or I want to order this Firefly gear for this person I forgot. Halo, South Park, gaming crates, pet crates. You probably forgot the dog. We talked about that last week. Probably forgot your dog. And you know the best part about ordering from Loot Crate? When you place your order, put Daily Dose in the coupon box and get an additional 10% off. Loot Crate will kick us a little money, which we forward to the Billy Betts Lacrosse Fund, which helps some kids get involved in sports. You get what you need. You get that gift that you forgot. And you can even spend, yeah, I ordered it here, and it just took a little longer than I thought. I didn't really forget you. We know that you did. But you get the stuff that you need. Some needy kids get some help and get to play some sports. You get some more good karma going into 2017. And let's be honest, we all need as much good karma as we can possibly get. All right, as we do every single week, we've got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Talked a little bit about it already. 2016 is a little bit of a rough year for a lot of people. We lost some great people. We saw some retirements. We saw some crazy things just in the world take place. We saw a crazy year of sports in 2016. But I'm telling you right now, 2016 could have been a lot worse. Could have been a lot worse. Right now, on the Daily Dose Top 5, we count down the top 5 ways that 2016 could have been worse. Number 5 on our list. You might think 2016 was bad. Can you imagine if Kobe Bryant didn't retire? Imagine another season with brick after brick after brick. It was obvious that Kobe Bryant had lost what he had. And it was obvious that the Los Angeles Lakers are better off without him. So while we sit there and we're mad at what 2016 did and the way things happened in 2016, remember, 2016 we did see Kobe Bryant retire, and that wasn't a bad thing. That's number 5 on our list. Number 4. On our list of ways that 2016 could have actually been worse. What if Dallas Cowboys quarterback Tony Romo doesn't get hurt? And every single week, they're throwing the ball 50 times. They don't even hand it to Ezekiel Elliott. Even less than they do now. And I noticed that on Monday night against the Detroit Lions, they did minimize those throws for Dak Prescott. They did run the ball a little bit more. Imagine if Tony Romo had never gotten hurt. We don't even know who Dak Prescott is. I don't know, that fourth-round kid? Mississippi State, I think. I mean, he kind of looks like Tim Tebow. We wouldn't know who he was. We'd be watching Tony Romo, and the Cowboys would be 8-8 like they have been every single year. So, again, 2016 wasn't that bad. Wasn't that bad. That's number 4 on our list. Tony Romo doesn't get hurt. Number 3 on our list. A lot of talk this last week about George Karl's tell-all book. Of course, George Karl, the great NBA coach. He was with the Seattle Supersonics. He was with the Denver Nuggets. He was with, I think, the Milwaukee Bucks, Sacramento Kings. George Karl released a tell-all book in which he hammered a few people. Took some shots at Carmelo Anthony. I've heard he took some shots at DeMarcus Cousins, but they were deleted. Took some shots at Kenyon Martin. Number of people upset with what George Karl said. Now, I notice they all kind of came back to him and said, well, George Karl's a jerk. I noticed none of them said George Karl's a liar. They just all said he was a jerk. George Karl is kind of a jerk. I also don't think he was probably lying about a lot of that stuff. But, you know, 2016 would have been a lot worse if George Karl's tell-all book also came with a nude centerfold. So I'm telling you right now, it might seem bad. 2016, not as bad as it could have been. Not as bad as it could have been. Down to number 2. The number 2 way that 2016 could have been a lot worse. What if we hadn't known it was Christmas? Like, it just went right by us, and we missed it. Fortunately, we had those Christmas songs telling us again and again, hey, I'm not sure if you knew it's Christmas, but Christmas is almost here, and it only comes once a year. And Mary, I don't know if you know, but you've got the baby Jesus there. Fortunately, we had those songs. I know I called them out earlier. Man, good thing they had our back, though. Otherwise, 2016 could have been worse. If Christmas goes by and none of us even realize it, could have been a lot worse in 2016. So what could our number one reason be? Number one reason. The Daily Dose Top 5 Ways 2016 Could Have Been a Lot Worse. What if that Russian hack revealed a Trump-Clinton sex tape? I'm telling you, right now, I don't need to see that. Nobody needs to see that. Let's all stop and be a little bit thankful for the year that was 2016. Next week on The Daily Dose, our very first show of 2017. You know, the NFL playoffs are coming. The College Football National Championship will be set. Plus, don't forget, UFC 207 takes place on Friday night. Ronda Rousey gets back in the ring against a very, very tough Amanda Nunes. TJ Dillashaw versus John Lineker. Dominic Cruz versus Cody Garbrandt. I'm telling you, UFC 207, not bad. We'll be discussing that a little bit next week. Plus NBA, college basketball. And like you just saw, the Daily Dose Top 5. You've always got to make sure that you stick around for that. Hey, don't forget to subscribe wherever it is that you download the show. Feel free to contact us at dailydosesports@gmail.com or hit us on Facebook or Twitter at Daily Dose Sports. And be sure to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose and get some of those presents that you might have forgot about. Enter the coupon Daily Dose to get 10% off. Have to say thank you to the Daily Dose Brain Trust, the Board of Advisors, whatever it is that we want to call them, for their best of 2016. I appreciate you guys taking the time to send in your answers. Thank you to Trixie for stopping by. We always enjoy having you around the Daily Dose. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I wish you all a very safe and a very happy new year. Let's get after it in 2017.